I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you remember when we were friends in the 80s?
In the 80s.
Do you remember when we was friends back then?
It was acceptable then.
Those 40 years have gone so fast. Now we're two old cunts making a podcast. Just talking about when we were friends in the 80s.
In the 80s.
And remembering when we were young in the 80s.
You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. You alright?
Why'd you change the format?
What?
You elongated it. I go, you alright? You go, I'm alright. You alright?
Well, why keep asking if I'm alright? I'm fine.
Alright.
Yeah, I'm alright. You alright?
Yeah, we've been moaning, haven't we, about having too much to do.
Yeah. What's it now? It's like the 28th of the month or something.
It's the 26th. This will probably be out around the 28th.
The thing is, people hate it if you work for yourself and then you say you're busy.
Yeah, you're not.
No, you're not really busy, are you?
No.
I mean, you ain't. It's on holiday, farting around in your fucking van. I've been busy. Trying to pin you down, it's like having another wank in a lay-by.
I love the fact you, before you said anything, you throw me under the bus. Like, it's all my fucking fault. It is.
People only got to see your suntan and know it's your fault.
No, I know, but you're going on holiday. So, you don't make out you're fucking sitting at home like fucking Tiny Tim with a fucking little bit of bread and cheese. Like, you're going on holiday. Anyway, July. You're getting it in July, so stop complaining.
Well, you know, you say you're getting it in July. If I can turn it around in 2 days.
Yeah. Well, what I ask you, listeners, right, how much are you paying for it?
Yeah, exactly. Stop fucking moaning.
Stop moaning. I'll tell you who's paying for it. The MSC. The MSC sponsored us. I forgot to invoice them last month, so they aren't paying for it at the moment. But they're a lovely little collective of people
How did you meet them in the first place?
Through the Hardcore Listing podcast. So Hardcore Listing is another podcast I do with our mate Chris, and basically we set up a little Patreon over there, and a lot of the patrons over there listened to this podcast and reached out and said, look, you know, if we all put I think there's about 10 or 15 of them, I think they'll put a couple of bob in each to pay the 99 quid it is a month to sponsor an episode. So yeah, huge thanks to you lot. Next month, I know we said last month we'd do it this month, but next month I will get a concise breakdown of names, and one by one we'll throw you all under the bus. Perhaps we start next month with Simon Lovell. He's quite outspoken.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's one of the people that he chirps up and said something along the lines this month where everyone was saying, where's the episode? He said he'd just given up on us cunts anyway.
That hurts a little bit.
Yeah.
He ain't really, though, is he?
No, he's
so just, who's he? I recognise the name.
Yeah, yeah. Operates under the name Tramp Lovell sometimes. He's a good egg.
Is he?
Yeah, he's about our age, so he kind of gets all the little reference points. What's weird is some of them are a lot younger, and they probably have absolutely no idea who half the paedophiles we talk about are.
But there'd be more pedos along soon.
Yeah, of course. They ain't even really got into the 90s yet, have they?
Nah, well, a little bit. Started, didn't they?
Yeah.
Started chipping away at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll come out of the woodwork. They always do, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. What were the big sort of comedies in the 90s? Only Fools and Horses, was that still going in the 90s?
Yeah, it was still going into the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So there might still be some from the 80s left that we haven't found out about yet.
Who knows? Hmm. Right.
They'll be gliding into the news, won't they?
1983. Films.
Yeah.
Holiday Road. Holiday Road.
How good's Holiday Road?
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick.
Oh.
Do you know who sings that?
I was going to say, do you know who sings that?
I do.
Yeah.
Lindsay Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac. It's a tune, that.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I found that out.
Yeah, it's a tune.
Yeah.
I fucking love the first Vacation film.
Yeah, it's good. Now, I like all the Vacation films.
There was a Vegas one that...
It was a latter day one.
Yeah.
I've only seen it once.
Same.
I remember it being not as bad as you thought it was going to be.
I remember it being as bad as I hoped it wasn't going to be.
Oh, really? What? Yeah. It's not as bad as Police Academy 7, though, is it?
I don't know. I've not seen that one. I think the last Police Academy I saw was the one in the air balloons. What number's that? 4?
Oh, fuck knows. 7 was bleak, though. There was only it was only Larville Jones trying to hold everything together. You know you're in bother.
I ain't got any more noises. Find some. Oh, dear. So that first Vacation film, I mean, I think it's fucking hilarious. The scenes in that film when he's just driving that car and the rest of the family are asleep and
he's got a chance of a bit of sexy.
Is it Christine Brinkley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit of sexy to and fro, and he with the lovely bird in the red convertible. Oh. When they pull up at the little stop and they're all having their sandwiches.
He does that little dance.
He's doing the little dance with the sandwich, isn't he? And then sort of takes a suggestive bite just as his wife says the dog's pissed on him.
Dad, the dog's pissed on the sandwiches! Oh, it's so good. And that scene when he's obviously preoccupied with Christine Brinkley in that car, and he throws the car off the road and it just literally flies through the air, and he ends up sort of sitting in the desert with Rusty, his son, and he has his first beer with Rusty, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he talks about, and he's like, Dad, you must have thrown this car 50 yards. And he's like, that's nothing to be proud of, son. And he just seems to look off in the distance.
50 yards. I think he has a car leave the road in every single one of the films.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the checkboxes.
100%. It's so good. And Beverly D'Angelo. Whoa.
Yeah, I think she was a singer, wasn't she, before that?
She's in Every Which Way But Loose or Can. She plays...
I ain't seen them for fucking years.
I can't think what... Philo Beddoe's best mate is, but she plays his girlfriend.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Married to Al Pacino in real life.
What, still?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And, I just think that film, that scene where he's like, he just has the meltdown in the car, where like they all suggest that, like, you know, he's had a good innings and it's time to go home.
Okay.
And he says, I'm going to have so much fun. You're going to have so much fun. We're going to need plastic surgery. Move our smiles from our goddamn faces.
You're going to be whistling zippity dood out our arseholes. They're great, them meltdowns. I love the meltdown in an 80s film.
Right. And then when he gets there and he's shouting, he just punches a fucking moose in the fucking face.
But do you know, it's the little build-up to that, where they pull up and they pull up fucking miles away, don't they? And she's like, why are you parking so far? He's like... Because we'll be the first ones out of here, because we're the Griswolds. Yeah. And then they do the chariots of fire to get there to see Marty Moose has got the fucking sign saying he's close. When he just lumps it, doesn't he?
It's so good. And John Candy then has a little cameo towards the end. Oh, what a fucking great film. Did you ever have, like, what was, if you had to, like, remember what, I know you're probably going to say Disneyland, you spoiled prick, but, like, what was your favourite holiday as a kid?
Well, that holiday was like a road trip holiday. And so
Did you do a Freddie Laker fly drive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so got there, got the car, and then we was driving, I think we was just driving around Florida, but, like, it's fucking massive, so, like, and stopping in motels. But we all had the fucking shits and was throwing up, like, me, my mum, my sister. And the old man was the only one who was all right. And every time we've spewed up in an hotel, he's like, right, come on, everyone out. I don't want to get this. And so we spent the whole time just fucking, like, moving around because he didn't want to catch what we all had. But I just remember, like, we just kept spewing up and shitting.
Yeah.
Oh, like, and just drinking this weak lemon squash because it's all we could hold down.
Good times.
Yeah, happy days.
Was Disneyland, like, can you remember it being, like, proper good?
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, it's because it's fucking, it's Disneyland, isn't it? And you're a kid.
It's America in the 80s.
Yeah, and like, everything was fucking massive. And that like, there was, like, Space Mountain. And I remember this thing called, like, the, it was called something like the President's Hall of Fame.
Right.
And it was just, you know, on the surface things, it sounds really fucking boring, but it's all like the ex-presidents were on a stage, all sat in seats and stuff, but like animatronic dummies. And one by one, they've got up and walked up to the podium and like delivered a speech. And yeah, and like, you're like, this is the future. It's moving, like, it's so fucking freaky. Yeah.
I think something like that is still there. I watched an episode of Modern Family and they go, ooh, I think it's Disney. They go to a theme park and that, he's still there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, like, because I was like, what's this? And it's only, like, what's his name? Jay. He's just going, oh, yeah, we've got to go and watch that. And it's like, and it was. I was like, oh, fucking hell, yeah.
So have they updated it with Donald Trump, his shreddy wheat hair and his little hands going, grab him by the pussy. Grab him by the pussy. Just grab him by the pussy.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. okay, right. What else have we got? Films that were also out that month. Mr. Mum. Now, I believe that's a bigger deal in America than what it was in the UK.
Mr. Mum?
It's basically Michael Keaton, and I think it's just like his wife goes to work and he stays at home and he's Mr. Mum.
Mr. Mom?
Mom, yeah. How would that have panned out in your ass?
So hold on, what happens? My old girl goes out to work.
Yeah, and your old man puts on a penny and plays old school mum.
Can't really see it.
Mm.
Probably like burnt toast and the microwave with a hole through it. angry man at times.
I remember, like, my old man, I don't think, like, he's ever cooked in his life.
My old man, so when he was living like on his own in his flat, he was cooking and would cook like samosas and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Got pretty handy at it, but he was like in his 60s by then.
Yeah.
But like, no, I can't remember my old man ever making a dinner.
No, it never happened in my house. And I remember, like, if ever like my mum went out and like, and it was down to my old man
Chips.
To feed us. Nah, cheese on toast, that's all he could do.
Oh, really? I don't think my old man could do cheese on toast.
Do you know what? I think...
I imagine him burning it and just ripping the grill off the wall.
Would you have a chippy once a week?
No, I don't think we always... I remember my mum cooking chips.
Yeah, well, it was a decade of the McCain oven chip as well, wasn't it?
But my mum would do them on, you know, like the ones where all the fires started in the 1970s.
Oh, yeah, in a big fat fryer.
Yeah, just literally
in a pan.
A saucepan full of oil with that fucking, like, net saucepan thing in it with the chips in.
Yeah.
And, like, just oil spitting everywhere. And
oh, fucking Wellifant would be frowning at that, mate.
Like, lifting it off with a tea towel. I don't know why my mum won't have, like, she just won't have anything to do with oven gloves. Like, it's just...
That generation pride themselves on their asbestos hands, don't they?
Yeah.
They'll bring the plate over and put it down and go, don't touch the plate, it's hot.
Yeah. But look closer and they've all got hands like Simon Weston.
Jaws 3D come out.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
I've just reached over and I'm holding the helmet.
Not mine.
The bottle opener.
Jaws 3D. I remember, like, might have been the first 3D film at the cinema.
Certainly the first one I'd heard of.
Yeah. And, like, can you remember sometimes you'd get, like, looking or, like, a comic, and it'd have like a pair of them like cardboard 3D glasses on the front, and then you sort of put them on and be completely underwhelmed at like whatever you was looking at.
Like a 3D cartoon or something.
Yeah, and it was generally quite shit.
Yeah.
I then remember going and watching, was it Jaws? I don't think it was.
Was Jaws 3D put your glasses on now, or was it all 3D?
I don't know.
Did Nightmare on Elm Street have a 3D one where you had to put your glasses on for a certain bit of it?
Yeah, I think that might have been a bit... weren't the first one, I don't think.
Probably Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Yeah, D.
D.
Yeah. But I remember... like the first time, I can't remember what it was, but going to like see a film in 3D. I think it was something like the fucking American Tale or something like that. One of them kind of like not quite Disney animated things. It was like a bit 3D. And I remember thinking, this is going to be the future. And just thinking, what is this? This is just uncomfortable wearing these little fucking glasses.
Yeah.
It really didn't do anything. It just made everything a bit pinky. Like,
it's a song on the new Sparks album called Nothing Is As Good As They Say It Is. And I think that's a fucking great title for life, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a really good fucking way of looking at things. It's never as good as people tell you.
Nah.
Have you ever had something that someone's told you is good and it's been really fucking brilliant?
Nah.
Nah.
Can't think of anything offhand, so probably not.
I'll tell you, I bought a 3D TV when they come out.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How did that work? See, you've gone through all that disappointment with a 3D cinema.
I'm optimistic things are going to change.
Did you get sucked in by suggestive salesmanship?
Same bloke that sold me with my soundbar. Went into Comet. Thought, right, I'm not going to spend more than 50 quid. I just want one of these little soundbars. You've been in the Bose room, mate. I went, what's that? He went, I'll come through and have a listen. Let me play this. Yeah, 200 quid later, I've just walked out with that fucking Bose little fucking sound system I got.
Was that as good as he said it was? Bose stuff's normally all right, isn't it?
It is really good.
Get a sponsorship with them. Look, we just said something nice about them.
I'm just going to... we're not going to get any sponsorship from 3D TV, so I'm about to cut them right off. So we needed a new TV for our living room, right?
Yeah.
And I ain't one of these people that's got like a fuck-off telly. I'm not interested in big fuck-off tellies. But we needed a new telly, and this was probably... I reckon maybe 10 years ago now, and we've still got it. I mean, it's a telly that's in our room. And he was like, have a look at 3D TVs. I was like, right. And you got like 5 pairs of plastic, like 3D glasses come with it that look like sort of Ray-Bans. Ooh. And I was like, fuck it, let's do it. Let's get a 3D TV because it's going to be the future of television. I got it home and spent ages fucking and cunting trying to get it hung on the wall. And then when I hung it
but that would have happened whatever kind of TV it was.
True. But I got it all hung on the wall and I was really pleased with it. Then when I went and sat down, I put it on and then I put the glasses on. I didn't realise that it had to be at eye level for it to work. And it was, it was about 4 foot above my eye line.
Carol, we're going out to buy some high stools.
Fucking hell. Yeah, so I've never... and then obviously they were going to say all channels are going to be going to 3D. None of it ever happened.
No.
I think you could buy like a DVD that was in 3D for about 50 quid. And I was like, oh, I ain't doing that. So, never actually watched anything in 3D on my 3D telly.
What, nothing?
Well, no, I don't stand up and watch telly, do I?
I thought you might have stood up just to see whether it was worth lowering it down. You're such a lazy cunt.
Oh, fucking hell. What else have you got for films?
The only other one I've got is Krull. You seen Krull?
I haven't, but I remember it being a big deal when it came out. Have you?
No, I don't think I've seen it, but I went and had a look at the trailer on YouTube, and I've got to say, it just looks like fucking, you know, like Doctor Who. Oh. So this is the same, you know, the same year as Return of the Jedi, and it's one of them ones where... everyone who dies seems to be standing still and getting vaporised by that. You know that same fucking lightning effect?
Oh,
like it
rubbish.
Just looks like Doctor Who. It looks shite. But it's got Lisette Anthony in it, which was like one of the redeeming features. Do you remember her?
She was in the I Feel You video for Depeche Mode.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, and then she ended up recently on Hollyoaks. And then something happened and she...
it was Harvey Weinstein.
She was quite outspoken about something.
Well... so would you be if you'd been assaulted?
Was she involved in a Weinstein thing?
Yeah.
Is that guesswork?
Nope. No, it's not guesswork. I've read it on Wikipedia.
Right.
I'll tell you also adding it. Do you know any of this? Liam Neeson.
Right.
Robbie Coltrane.
Right.
Todd Carty.
Tucker?
Yeah. And, get this, Bernard Breslau as Rel the Cyclops.
See?
Cool, I got my eye on her, Sid.
I want to watch Crow now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
it's got to be worth it, isn't it? Just for Bernard Breslau playing a Cyclops.
I can't imagine Bernard Breslau. I mean, to family and friends of Bernard, I don't want to do him a disservice here. We're fans of Breslau. But I don't think I've ever seen him in anything other than being Sid's sidekick.
Well, you're obviously just missing out on his oeuvre.
Well, I've never seen Crow, have I?
You don't know his full oeuvre, do you?
No, I
How
don't.
Did you say that? Oeuvre. His oeuvre. Yeah.
There's lots of other films on Movie Phone this month.
Oh, what else you got on Movie Phone?
It's a naughty month, this one.
What, sexy?
Yeah. Candy the Stripper. And I read the synopsis to this. And they're trying to shut down a strip club.
They always try and shut them down.
Open more up.
But your people are just going there for a beer and just to kick back and relax after a hard day at work. They're probably going to get grief off their wife when they get home. Just let them have a beer and look at some knockers. It's the 80s, fuck's sake.
Also next to Candy the Stripper, don't miss the stripped-down fun and hot-wired action of Getting It On, the funniest, sexiest, craziest comedy around.
Four.
Private School. That looks really rude. That looks like Porky's. It's got
private school. Private school. So are they like army privates?
No.
Or it's just a school where the teachers look at their privates.
Private school student Christine loves Jim, but her classmate Jordan is also vying for Jim's attention and trying to end his relationship with Christine. Meanwhile, Jim's friend Bubba embarks on a series of sexual escapades, including dressing up as a woman to access the girls' dressing room. Despite Jim and Christine's efforts to spend some time alone, various shenanigans and schemes interfere. Phoebe Cates. Who was Phoebe Cates? She was quite famous, wasn't she?
Phoebe
and
Cates.
Matthew Modine of Full Metal Jacket.
Oh.
Yeah, that was Private School. It does look a little bit...
You'd never get away with a film called Private School these days.
No.
Unless it was like the biopic of Fred Talbot.
Did I tell you about... when I went round a video shop and I got the Howard Stern film out?
Nah.
So it was when they had the video shop round Crammy and I used to go round there and get me 80s feel-good films out and buy four cans of Foster's. And I remember going around there in the Howard Stern film.
And a box of Kleenex.
Just come out. And I really wanted to see it.
Yeah.
So I went and got it.
Was that called Private Summit?
Private Parts. And so anyway, the old dear that is working behind there and her mate go in there. And I go and walk up there with the card and then the number of... That corresponds with the number of the videos in, you know, behind the counter. And as she pulls it out, and I used to chat to her because I used to go in there like most days and get a film. And she'd be like, oh, what you got today? Private, oh. And I went, no, it's not like that. And then her mate went, oh. And I was like, oh, no. They were proper old retired ladies as well that just thought I was getting a bit of grot at. Pauline on the Beach is out this month as
it's
well.
It's not the sexiest name, is it?
Pauline! Marion is about to divorce from her husband and takes her 15-year-old niece Pauline on vacation to Granville. There she meets an old love.
Granville?
Granville?
There's your clue.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's sounds quite dodgy. What were the other ones I saw? Puberty Blues. I mean, you can't get away with that shit anymore, can you? I told you it was a dirty month.
That's worse than dirty, though. What's the synopsis of Puberty Blues?
Strap in.
Strap on.
The mating rituals of two teenage surf chicks from the southern suburbs of Sydney. Meet Sue, an Australian teenager in the late 70s, whose life mainly consists of doing what all the other girls do. Watch the surfing boys and have sex with the same surfing boys. The girls have lots of strange customs, i.e. do not eat or go to the bathroom when a boy is around. Ugly girls have two choices, being bitches and hate boys, or being generally cheap and looked down upon by everyone. The afternoons are spent on the beaches and in the back seats of cars or at home alone parties where sex and alcohol are the main ingredients. Parents and teachers are trying to straighten the kids out, but it's not easy. Puberty blues. Can't do none of that business anymore, can you?
Yeah, but it's probably for the best.
It's definitely for the best. Staying Alive by John Travolta. Come out, remember that?
Staying Alive?
Yeah, it was
like a John Travolta documentary or something?
No, it was like, I think it was like a, I remember going to the Thameside to watch this. Let's have a little read of the synopsis. It's 5 years later and Tony Manero's Saturday Night Fever is still burning. Now he's strutting towards his biggest challenger yet, making it as a dancer on the Broadway stage. Like, I think that's in that, have you ever seen that bit of footage where he's in the dance, where it gets used as a gif loads, where he's just got like this pair of like shorts on and he's just thrusting his hips and his dinkles moving about? That's from Staying Alive, I think.
Oh, right. Yeah. So what is it? It's like a sequel then?
Yeah, directed by Sylvester Stallone as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't remember it being very good. But yeah.
It's never mentioned, is it?
No.
When they mention Saturday Night Fever, they never mention it.
Yeah. You got any more films you want to talk about?
Nah.
Okay. Well, look, while we're on films, I know you was a fan of this last time. Do you want to play another round of Trading Places?
People have said that we were a little bit remiss not to mention Jamie Lee Curtis in Trading Places being topless.
Did we not mention that?
No.
Oh. Cracking tits. obviously, we should be, we should be wearing black armbands this evening. Sadly, we lost Alan from Grange Hill.
And Trevor Francis.
And Trevor Francis, yeah.
The first million-pound player and the anchor man from your tug-of-war team.
Absolutely. Alan from Grange Hill. Thoughts and prayers going out to Alan and his family. If you could bring back
Rest
Alan...
Rest easy, big man.
If you could bring back Alan, who would you trade to bring back Alan?
Who's a fat cunt? James Corden. 100% all day long.
Bin off Corden, bring back Alan.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what, then, in which case... We're talking Trevor Francis tracksuits from a mush from Shepherd's Bush. Bush. Trevor Francis. Who would you get rid of to bring back Trevor Francis?
A current day footballer.
Or sports person.
Harry Kane.
Didn't see that one coming.
Nah, why not? Yeah.
Get in there. Okay, right, let's keep it 80s on this one. You can bring back dead or alive iconic frontman Pete Burns.
Oh, Pete Burns.
Bring back Burns to spin you around once more. Who are you going to trade him for?
I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of like, he was very unique, Pete Burns, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
He looked unique, he sounded unique. I'm just trying to think the opposite of that. Someone who's not unique, who's just kind of like run of the mill. No one would notice if he went. Dermot O'Leary.
Sorry, Dermot. You've gone in the bin, mate. There'll be more Trading Places next month. Rest in peace, Alan. Right, I've got the charts up now. Are you ready for some music?
Yeah.
Right, let's get me a little chart up. What we got? Official singles.
What percentage of the charts would you say is shit?
85?
No, I'm talking like 83.
No, 85%.
Oh.
Nowadays... Probably, as a grumpy old man, I'd probably say 85. Maybe back then, I don't know, nostalgia is accountable for a lot of what I'm looking at. I'd probably say 50-50.
Do you reckon there's songs that you didn't like at the time that you've come to like? Or do you reckon there's more songs that you thought were all right at the time that you've come to not like?
Okay, so this is interesting, Mike, because number one, I've got Baby Jane.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, same, yeah.
I think that's all right.
Yeah.
But number two... but number two, I think on its way to the top spot as well, is Paul Young with Wherever I Lay My Hat, open bracket, that's my home, closed bracket, formerly of Q-Tips, who had the seminal hit, Toast. A little bit of
Toast.
Toast. I loved Toast when I was a kid.
I remember you playing me that, yeah.
Yeah, I fucking loved that.
I remember being around your house and having Toast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like we was only kids.
Yeah.
And your mum done us some toast and put the butter out, and we were both buttering our toast, and you going to me, no, you don't do it like that. And I'm like, what? And I was just putting it on and just like spreading it with the tip of the knife. You went, look, you put it across the top and use the flat bit of the knife to spread it all the way down the toast.
I showed you how to butter bread.
Well, no, as usual, you thought you were doing it right and you thought you knew the best way to do things, but it worked for you, but it didn't work for me because I like more butter than that. So I just like, you know...
Making out you was like a fucking maverick even back then.
No, I wasn't a maverick.
I ain't doing the traditional path.
No, I want... I'm
going off grid.
I knew what I liked, and once again, you're just trying to show me the boring, like the Dermot O'Leary way to do toast.
Right. Don't have too much. Well, I hope you have an heart attack now.
If I have an heart attack, if I end up with third arteries, people are going to go back and they're going to listen to this and go, "He's best friend of 40 years wished it on him. What a cunt." In fact, I hope I've got third arteries now. I'm going to post a picture of me having had a bypass, like doing a weak kind of thumbs up, looking all grey, with the little quote of that just running underneath it.
Oh, dear. Stuart was unavailable for comment. There'd be a little picture of me with some like brown bread with a little bit of avocado on it. Yeah. So Wherever I Lay My Hat, Paul Young, that's rubbish.
Did you think it was all right at the time, though?
Yeah, I thought Paul Young, I remember really liking Common People as a kid.
Was that a cover, Wherever I Lay My Hat, that's my home? And Common People was a cover, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Come Back and Stay For One. And what was the other big slowy number one he had? Didn't he have another big fucking slowy?
I don't know. Wasn't that Wherever I Lay My Hat?
Oh,
that was like one of the best-selling albums, though, that year, wasn't it?
Is it Parley Vu?
No, oh. Parley.
No, Parley.
Parley Vu.
Aha! Every time you go away.
That's better, though. That is better. I'm not saying it's good, but it is better than Wherever I Lay My Hat.
Yeah.
And Come Back and Stay is better than that.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a fucking proper big superstar, wasn't he, Paul
Young?
Yeah,
but he was a chicken in a basket cunt.
Ladies loved him. They got them moist.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yeah. And fair play to him, because he didn't like to Paul Young. He wanted the older women, didn't he?
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Was that an ironic name?
Well, maybe. I suppose it's like Little John. Paul Young, he weren't. He was Housewife's favourite, wasn't he? Mm. He would get them... He would probably get some of them kind of middle-aged vaginas very moist.
Yeah. So some of them on their last hurrah, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And you got to tip your, wherever you lay out, you got to tip your hat to him.
Yeah.
Fair play. Well done, Paul. That's not very good.
I don't reckon he was any good at having it off, though. Do you? Like...
Well, he was married to the model, wasn't he? Stacey Young, who sadly passed away a couple of years ago.
Oh.
And
we can't even ask her.
No.
Did she stick with him, though?
Yeah. At number three, IOU by Free. Spoke about that last time. And Moonlight Shadow and Flashdance. Come Live With Me. You like that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got some dodgy lyrics in it, but I do like it.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a fucking CD age gap relationship song, though, isn't it? I don't know whether that would be getting much play in the wake of the Hugh Edwards scandal.
Some strange stuff going down in 1983. Yeah. Just look what was in the cinemas.
Yeah.
Paul Young.
Puberty Blues and Come Live With Me.
Kiss the Boys Goodbye. Keeping things political, Tom Robinson, War Baby. Did we speak about War Baby last
time? Nah.
I like War Baby.
Don't know. It's never really done it for me. It's like the style of it.
Yeah, it's kind of, it feels a little bit more 70s than 80s. It feels like late 70s.
Yeah, it sounds like
that could have been on Stiff. It might have been on Stiff. It could have been on Stiff. Like, it's got that kind
of... I don't know if it's a bit kind of mainstream for Stiff. Mm. Stiff always had a bit of like a rougher edge to the production to it. And it sounds
Why don't you back off from fucking Tom Robinson,
It sounds
mate?
A bit bluesy, doesn't it? I just don't really like the blues.
I don't
unless
like
they're
the
puberty.
number 10... Double Dutch by Malcolm McLaren. Like that?
Yeah.
Airboy, Nets.
Was that one of the ones that Trevor Ong done?
It was. And I remember seeing, because this is on Now One, and I remember after sort of seeing, this has come out the same year as Rocksteady Crew, and then seeing the Ebonettes was the skipping troupe, wasn't
yeah.
it? And I think they were on like Blue Peter or something like that, And it was so fucking cool. I remember just thinking, this is fucking brilliant. And then going out with like one of them like rope skip, like sort of skipping ropes with like the big wooden handles that like some girl down Dartview had.
Yeah. Tripping on a curb and taking a bit off your front tooth.
I'm actually going to get round to that later.
How are you?
Yeah. Have you ever been able to skip?
No, I've got no coordination. Like that would probably be one of the things that I'm worst at.
Yeah.
Just like... But it's because I'm tall, the time it takes for that signal to get from my brain going jump down to my feet, the rope's gone and I'm fucking all just tangled up and laying on the ground with greys on my elbow.
I remember always, like, when the girls were doing skipping in the 80s, where, like, they'd have the big skipping rope and there'd be, like, one either end and someone skipping in. I always really wanted to do that.
I thought you just always wanted to get that rope, tie them up.
Didn't want to do that.
No, me neither.
Just wanted to just have some armless skipping.
Yep. Just skipping, sir.
And,
mostly skipping.
It was frowned upon, wasn't it?
What?
Boys weren't allowed to do skipping unless you were boxers.
Yeah.
Like,
I did skipping at boxing.
I don't reckon you're any good at skipping.
No, shit.
Yeah. I've tried
other
skipping.
Other people doing all that one... You know that fucking one foot, other foot, nah.
It's not. I've tried and tried and tried. I'm just not the right fucking stamp for it.
I do wonder whether, because we're both fairly tall, whether we've just not been trusted with a long enough rope.
Could be that.
Number 12.
Yes.
The Trooper by Iron Maiden.
Trent Howard.
Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
Nah. No, I don't think they were.
Nah.
I reckon Bruce Dickinson would have given it the big un.
Yeah, but he would have bought the toys out if it got a bit tasty. He would have got his little fucking sword out, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck off, Bruce. I don't know. They were, because were they East End boys? Were they from like Barking or West Ham way, aren't they?
Oh, they are, aren't they?
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Like that people sometimes look at like metal covers and think people are scary, but.
I reckon Nicko McBrain, the drummer, could have it.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was a big old lump.
They all had pubes, definitely.
Yeah.
I reckon in the later years...
The metal band would never have trimmed their pubes.
Rob Alford from Judas Priest would have roared his off 100%.
What, back in the day?
Yeah. When he lost his hair, I think his pubes went with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I reckon...
Upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, do you know what? I didn't do upstairs, downstairs, Mark. I couldn't think of any more bald people from the 80s. I forgot about Rob Alford.
I think you might have done him before, just as an excuse mention my hat.
I'm going to get a mention of that later, actually.
Oh, really? Jacket?
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, because it's weird, isn't it? A metal is hard.
Yeah, I don't think you can, across the board, say whether they are or not. I think some of them are, and some of them ain't.
Barlow. I want to get booked to Download next year.
Well, I'll tell you what, some of them people that Download, I wouldn't want to meet having said that they weren't hard. When I was doing the Men With Beards tour, there was loads of people turned up with beards. Other people turned up with fake beards, like, you know, wearing fake beards. And there was a couple of people who their mates went, he's shaved his beard off before tonight because he didn't want you to single him out. And of course, once they say, like, fucking he is hiding something then. He shaved his beard. So this big fuck-off metaller, like 6'6" or something, come up to me at the bar and went, do you want to know what I'm hiding? And I went like, nah, you're all right. No. And he's just like lifted up his tash like this. He's got this wax tash. He's lifted it up and he's gone, don't meet me beard. And then just like pushed it back down.
That's, I like that. What a moment.
Yeah.
You know what? Fair play. He felt comfortable in your company.
Yeah.
To, you know, express himself like
little
that.
Little glimpse behind the bearded curtain now.
And show that vulnerability.
Yeah. Very vulnerable.
Yeah. Rest easy, big man.
He's not dead.
Oh.
As far as I know.
Apart from Sutcliffe, what man with a beard had the most to hide?
He was a busy boy, wasn't he, Sutcliffe?
I can't believe, of all the things you could say about a serial killer, he had a lot on his plate. Flat out, wasn't he?
He was.
Pete, have a day off, mate.
What's the question?
Who had the most to hide, like behind a beard, apart from Sutcliffe?
Well, I mean, we know now Rolf Harris was hiding a lot, wasn't he, through the 60s, 70s
True.
And 80s.
True.
Do you mean who, like, you'd look at now with their beard in the 80s and you'd think they got away with it?
Mm. Claypole.
He didn't get away with it.
Is he being done?
He's dead.
Oh.
I always thought there was something about Peter Whiff. Like, his beard was out of time with the 80s. It was a hangover from the 70s. But perhaps he was just like, perhaps he liked heavy rock music.
Maybe.
But when you think of Peter Whiff, like, part of you goes Gentle Giant, and then the other part, you can imagine him, like, trawling the red light districts with an hammer in his 1970s Ford Corsair. Gary Birtle's helping him get a body into the boat.
Just imagine all the team walking off the pitch after doing a 1-0 loss and just thinking, it's not going to be a good night for Peter.
Oh, God, no. Someone's going missing from the red light district.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. What other songs did you want to talk about?
Number 14, Take That Situation by Nick Heywood. It's a very fucking feeble song.
Yeah. I think he's very overrated, Nick Heywood.
He had a cheeky little face, though, didn't he, that lots of girls loved.
Still got it. He still looks incredible.
Yeah. I still would.
Yeah.
But not to that.
No. Why would you?
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What other songs you want to talk about?
I went and watched some of these on Top of the Pops. The Walk, The Cure. I think The Cure's best moment, is it? Like, it's got a bit of a wafty synth riff going on.
It's not the best.
Forbidden Colours, Sylvian and Sakamoto.
I don't know if I know that.
Oh, you know it. It's a fucking riff.
Oh, right, from the theme from
Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence.
Yeah.
I've never seen Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence. Have you?
No. I've got it on 7. It's good, that song.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Got David Bowie in, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Tantalise, Jimmy the Hoover. I went and watched that on Top of the Pops. He's a ponce.
Is he?
Yeah.
He was quite... He had a look, didn't he, if I remember rightly?
He looked a bit like a skinny, sort of effeminate Prince Adam who became He-Man.
That's quite a look.
Yeah. And the song was dog shit as well. Like, just like the art of shit version of Red Box.
That's saying something.
I thought they were right, Red Box. Don't mind a bit of Red Box.
Did we see them at that festival?
Yeah. Yeah, you talked all the way through. I was trying to listen to them. From the very, very young to the very, very old. Everybody now see I.
Is that Lean On Me, that one?
Yeah.
And then they did that
USA. Yeah. That's all right as well.
See, that's all right, that one.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah.
Cruel Summer, Bananarama, 21.
Right, okay, with that in mind, I've got a tiny little game.
Go on.
Called All Over the Banana Boat, right?
Is it racist?
No. And so I just want you to sort of rank the three Nanas, the original lineup.
Yeah.
In who you'd most want to doink, and what you reckon each of them are into.
What, sexually?
Yeah. Soft, middle and hard. Who's got your soft?
Siobhan Fahey.
Oh, dear, no, no, no. Okay. Okay. Well, what's she sprung on? What's she sprung on you that you don't want?
Like, you'd go to lick her out, and there'd be Dave Stewart's jizz dribbling out. His pretentious jizz. Sending up all over your chin. No.
I'll bet Robert Fripp's got a song called Pretentious Jizz. Fucking hell.
I'm not stirring Stuart's porridge.
No, why would you? Why would you? Okay, so soft, we've got Siobhan Fahey. Middle.
It's changed over the years.
Okay.
It's changed over the years, but middle would be Sarah Darling.
No way. Oh, okay. Why? What has Sarah done not to get you hard, just to keep you middle?
Now she's my best one now.
Ah.
But yeah, I would say through the 80s and probably like early 90s.
What's Sarah in? So you're going with Karen for middle?
No, I'm going with Sarah for middle. I'm going from an 80s perspective.
Oh, all right, okay. So what is she not doing that Karen's doing?
No, she's doing it. She's doing it all.
Right.
Front bum, back bum, bent over a sofa, touching her toes, on her back, legs akimbo, legs behind her head. She's doing it all. But I reckon Karen probably had a tidier rat. Like, Sarah's one, her inner labs, like, they just weren't quite as tidy. They'd be like, even from like a standing position, you'd see them dangling out a little bit. But Karen's was all tucked away nicely. And when she opens, it's like a perfect rose.
Really?
Yeah. I would imagine.
Fair play. Robert Plant had a track in the top 40 called Big Log.
Yeah.
Imagine if you went in the toilets at Band Aid, right? And someone had left a massive log in there.
Yeah.
Who do you think it'd be? Little bit pleased if it didn't flush.
Oh, what, they'd left the log in there on purpose?
They just had a big shit, couldn't believe how big it was, and just thought, I'm not flushing that. That's too good. Didn't say anything, though. Just walked out. Got on with their vocals.
What, at Live Aid?
Band Aid.
Band Aid. In the studio toilets.
Mm.
Who's the secret shitter?
Mm.
Rick Parfitt.
But I literally was going to say Rick Parfitt.
Yeah.
100%. He'd come out, he'd have a little smile on his face, wouldn't he? He'd nudge Francis.
Yeah,
they'd
give each other a wink, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Francis had just gone in to have a little line off the back of the cars here, and he's like, I know Rick shit.
I would imagine that probably George Michael has gone in there, it fucking stinks, and comes out and goes, who? And then that's when Parfitt looks over at Rossi. Rossi looks at Parfitt, and they share a little smirk.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, right. Should we move? Is there any more songs you want to talk about before we move on to music?
I'll tell you what.
Go on.
This could be the optimal Ponce top 40.
Right.
So you've got the fella from Jimmy the Hoover, definitely a fucking Ponce.
Yes.
Roman Holiday, have you seen them?
Yeah, Ponces.
Ponces, bunch of Ponces. The Lotus Eaters, first picture of you.
Tune.
Ponces, though. And then at number 39, After a Fashion by Midge and Mick Kahn. Have you seen it?
No.
I just had to go and have a look. So you got Ewer and Khan in the video. Ewer with his tidy tash and Khan with his tidy barnet. The pair of them wearing white trousers and linen suits in front of the pyramids and the Sphinx, like they're actually there.
Wow.
And the song is just utter fucking dog shit. A pair of poncies.
Al Giroux, he's also just gone into number 50 with Trouble in Paradise. He had a poncy look about him.
Al Giroux?
Yeah.
Fanny rat.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Loved the rat?
Loved the minge, yeah.
Yeah.
You could see it in his eyes.
You could see it in his eyes.
Some of them by night, others by day.
Seriously?
Going up to number 46, she had a little look outside the top 40.
Right.
Was George Benson, Feel Like Making Love?
Of course he does.
Didn't he always felt like making love?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, even after he'd just finished making love?
I think so. I think sometimes he'd get lost in jazz guitar. And I think sometimes when he was just like whittling around playing jazz, he's just got a full erection about jazz.
Mm.
But I think the minute that he just unplugs his guitar, it just feels like making love.
Hmm.
Like, he's never banged anyone, George Benson. He's never like come off stage. You know, there's a couple of like saucy ass wives that are like there for a little bit of classic Benson, and he just ended up like hanging out the back of them in the bogs. It ain't happened.
No,
it's never happened.
He would never have to turn his jacket inside out so the orange bit was outside,
yeah,
and shut off the bog so he could do someone up the jacksie.
Never done it.
He's never bent anyone over a bin. He might have done it on a sofa.
A chaise lounge. Yeah. I don't think he's ever put any of his digits in a vagina.
No, we don't have to, though.
No. They're moist.
Yeah.
Because he knows, they all know he feels like making love.
Yeah.
And he might give him a little couple of bars and nothing's going to change my love for you.
And also, if he's been hard for a while in the studio, you know, he's probably glistening at the tip, so he's... He's done half the work for him, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite a wide girth.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and a decent length.
And the thing is, like you say, he's been close to the edge, like, all day. Bang, in he goes, but he's not hammering it.
No.
He's his default setting. He's ready to go, but before he does anything, he'll take her out for dinner. He'll take her out for dinner, then he'll go home. It'll be over quickly.
Do you reckon?
Absolutely, but, lady, let me love you one more time.
Oh, yeah, he'll just go again. Yeah.
Like,
would he be able to remain hard for the period in between?
I think he's one of the best in the game here.
Like, he can spunk but remain hard.
Definitely.
George Benson, ladies and gentlemen. That's a talent, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is. And he should be applauded for it. Mm. Congratulations.
Can't imagine Nick Haywood being able to remain hard after spunking up.
Nah. He'd be like an excited little ferret just going at it. And it'd all be done and dusted in about 15 seconds. And then he'd probably say something like, I've got this idea for a song. I've just got to go and write something. And like pour himself a glass of wine. And she'd be there laying there just fucking listening to George Benson on a Walkman thinking this wouldn't be happening if I was with George.
She'd probably have to finish herself off whilst listening to George Benson.
Exactly. I imagine they would get a little bit angry if she weren't interested in his new song.
Oh, do you reckon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, Kershaw's got a bit of a temper, but he's little, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he couldn't punch his way out of a paper bag, but I reckon...
Mm.
He's like, he puts the snood over his face and just windmills.
Windmills in, yeah, blindly, yeah.
Who would win in a fight between Howard Jones and Nick Kershaw, do you reckon?
I think nowadays Kershaw.
God, because Jones is blind.
I don't think he's actually blind. I know you think he is.
No, he's not registered blind. He's still winging it.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Are you saying this just because of the way that his eyes are?
Yeah, he looks like the bloke
from Dragon's Den.
Yeah.
Right. Bit weird when we saw him that last time, wasn't it? And he, like, had that kind of...
Oh, the 80s festival.
Had that little outfit like Chris Martin and was just...
Doing a bit of new stuff and that.
Leave it out, will ya? Don't want new stuff. We want new song. I think Kershaw's just—he's a little bit fuller, and I think he's got that low center of gravity.
I think he'd Jones in the midriff.
Absolutely, just windmilling in, snood up. The snood would come down, and then by then he's just got him round the waist, takes him down, and I think by the time he gets him, gets full man, and then I think you just see
Jed ain't even out the back of the van.
Yeah, I mean he's tied up in the chains. Yeah, he's got in a right fucking pickle in the back of the van.
I thought he was doing a mime that he couldn't get out of the windows.
No, he's just stuck, and I think Jones is just like no, not the face, not the face. And I think in the end, like, I reckon Kershaw just gets up and just goes wanker and just spits on him and walks off.
Harsh, isn't it?
Yeah, he's rough, but I mean, it's been stewing for years, this beef, hasn't it?
It has, isn't it?
And like, you know, I think if it was to finally come to an end and get settled, that's how I see it going.
Yeah. Jed sounds like he could be old. It's quite an old name, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is quite an old name. He's got his shirt off already. He's primed to fight. He's got a skinhead.
Yeah.
Like, on paper.
Painted his face like Braveheart.
Yeah. Tooled up. Got a load of chains.
Yeah.
He's just a silly boy lemon, though, isn't he?
Just fucking about, aren't he? Poncing about with mime. And never get you anywhere.
Oh, dear. Right. Shall we do television?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Let's have a look what I've got here. Have you got anything for TV first?
Oh, I've got all the stuff.
You ain't got anything, have you?
Yep. You said this the other month, but the A-Team debuts on UK TV.
Ba, 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 ba,
ba, ba, ba.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it's good the A-Team, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I don't know if I've got ITV.
Action, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Non-stop action. Oh, you've gone for a Saturday. I think I've gone like a little fucking...
Did the same thing happen in every episode of the A-Team? They'd get holed up somewhere.
Yeah.
They'd weld a load of stuff together and then they'd burst out.
Come through the door.
Yeah. Did that happen in every episode?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, like, because Colonel Decker was chasing them for it. It felt like a few seasons, wasn't it?
And Carol Decker?
Yes. Like
big moon head looking like Mick Hucknall. You would keep running, wouldn't you?
She's still hanging around, isn't she?
Yeah.
Have they got any good songs?
No, I mean, they had that one, didn't they?
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't think of any other Tapal songs.
It was a big hit, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a big hit. Slowies, if you had a big hit Slowie in the 80s,
yeah.
That's why she's still hanging around.
Wide. I hated that. Yeah, I didn't like that. She's angry.
I think ginger people, by their very nature, are angry, aren't they?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, they are.
Right.
Yeah, and if you're small and ginger, very fiery, like Nicola Sturgeon.
Jeanette Cranky.
Yeah, never see him in the same room.
Do you hear about the Crankies, like the little bit of swinging?
Yeah.
I mean, that's weird, isn't it?
Well, especially if, like, she's all done up like a schoolboy.
Yeah.
You're going to be dreading getting them fucking keys, aren't you? Unless you're Fred Talbot. You'd be rubbing your hands together. That's what I always said, was when they were trying to find out whether Michael Jackson had done it or not, they should have sent Jimmy Cranky over there.
Covert.
Yeah. That's the thing. Jackson gets an handful of old ladies' minge. Bang, we got him.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
It's weird, though, the whole Crankies thing. I'm still a bit, like, weirded out by the fact that it's a bloke and his missus. And it ain't like he's going, oh, dress up as a fucking saucy schoolgirl. Dress up as a little boy.
Yeah. So then, like, thinking about it, with that in mind, you shouldn't be surprised that it ended up like it did with the old keys in a bow and that.
No.
I mean, fair play to them. If it's all legal, what are you going to do?
There's no smoke about fire, mate.
I did send an email when we was sorting out Shannon Matthews, the musical.
Right.
I had this idea to cast Jeanette Cranky as Shannon Matthews and just have her do this one cameo where she comes out from under the bed base.
That would have been,
because I thought, like, that clip on YouTube would break the internet. But her management said it wouldn't be something that she'd be interested in doing. Spoil sports.
Spoil sports, yeah.
Pervy spoil sports.
Yeah. Just stop swinging with fucking strangers and go and do his film.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Speaking of swingers, 4 p.m. Rod, Jane, and Freddie.
Who was swinging out of Rod, Jane, and Freddie?
Well, they all lived together, didn't they? The three of them.
Oh, that's right.
Like, so I don't know if like Jane was the lucky Pierre in the middle, and
it was like Rita, Sue, and Bob too, wasn't it? But turned on his head.
That was on last night. I recorded
it.
Oh,
was it?
Yeah, it was on one of the fucking shit film channels that you get for free.
Yeah,
at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I just was fucking flicking through to see what was on. I was like, fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it?
I'm going to have a bit of that. Gang bang. Yeah, I remember thinking like Jane was quite fit in the 70s.
There was something about her, though. I don't remember, she had one of them kind of like faces that looked like she was a misery guts. I don't know whether that put me off her.
She's probably tired. Like...
Exactly. If you're having to keep fucking Rod and Freddie on the ball, the old go. Roger's moved out because he's bevelled his cock into a point and he can't fucking handle any more.
Bevelled his cock. Was Rod the one that was like tall, like sort of like had a bit of a Nutkins vibe, like looked like Nutkins on roids.
Yeah,
I reckon, like, Jane had a bit of Rod for a while, and then sort of it all went... Rod didn't quite mature the way that she was hoping.
Yeah.
And I think she brought in Freddie, who was a little bit more... He had a bit of a mullet, didn't he?
Well, Freddie had a mate who could get Viagra. Right. So he was up the whole time.
Right. Oh, okay. Meanwhile,
which Jane liked at first, but ended up being the worst thing that could ever happen, because she's sharing them with Rod.
Yeah.
She spends the whole night sat on a sofa skiing with a pair of them, one either side. It's exhausting. Blisters. I had a mate who worked on Rainbow. All blisters she had on her hands.
The mate worked on Rainbow. Oh, fucking hell. What else have you got on the box?
Well, I did have, whilst looking at the A-team... I found a fact out about the A-team that I didn't know, that a different actor played Face in the pilot. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah, different actor played Face in the pilot. Could have all been very different, couldn't it?
Wow.
Do you know who that actor was?
I think I do, but I can't remember who it is.
Gary Coleman. No, it weren't really.
Like
Tim Dunnigan. I don't know who he fucking was. But it made me think, if you had to recast the A-team, who would you choose? From the 80s?
I went on Pip's podcast and done this.
Oh, did you? Recast the A-team?
Yeah.
What, from modern day or from 80s?
From modern day.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go 80s for this one.
Yeah.
Okay, Murdoch, Howling Mad Murdoch, I think I'll go for...
Would you want someone that was a bit of a loose cannon, a bit out there?
Yeah, yeah.
They could bring that to the role.
Yeah, definitely. Terry Marsh. I think...
Also got access to firearms.
Exactly. Like, Hannibal, I'll replace George Pappard with... Bob Olness.
The sacks on Baker Street, so he could probably organise a team of renegades.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll replace Face, Dirk Benedict, with...
very handsome.
Yeah, very handsome.
Very handsome.
I'll replace him with maybe Andrew Ridgely.
That's a good shout, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Don't want all the attention, but we'll mop up the women.
Yeah. You know Lee was going, me.
Yeah.
Let it be me.
Yeah,
let it be
me.
Oh, fuck, he said Andrew Ridgely.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mr. T, B.A. Brackus. Very unique. I'll replace with See, Frank Bruno's the obvious one, but I'm going to go with Lee John from Imagination.
Oh, different twist on it there.
What do you mean?
Huh?
What do you mean?
Well, he's smaller in stature.
Oh, right.
What do you think I meant?
Don't know.
He's just he's a very slight man compared to Mr. T's large build. Okay. I'd have been thinking more like someone like Alan Hargreaves.
Oh, rest in peace, Alan.
Yeah.
Who would you cast?
Well, I did have a little look earlier on.
Right.
I was trying to think about, like, putting a sporting twist on it.
Playing with the helmet now myself.
Deeply frustrated men. So, for Hannibal, I've gone all sporting from the 80s, right?
I'm liking this.
Hannibal, Big Daddy.
Solid.
He's the guy you want leading.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Easy work.
Yeah, exactly. How are we going to get out of this garage? We've been locked in.
Yeah.
With only, like, power tools and, you know, and a load of sheet metal.
Yeah.
Easy. And before you know it.
And if that don't work, it'll just bloody splash straight through the door.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
B.A., Bill Werbenick.
Good shout.
Yeah.
Good shout. I mean...
He don't want to get on the plane.
No.
But... Put something in his pint, you know he'll drink it.
And you keep that in his pint because you don't want to be sharing a room with him.
No, God, no. Not after what he did to Kirk Stevens. Ruined his arsehole. Kirk Stevens to this day still has to wear adult nappies. Can't trust a fart. Werbenick's got a lot of answer for.
It really has. Oh, dear, oh, dear. One night for Bill, but a lifetime for Kirk.
Exactly. So, for face, Peter Beardsley.
I mean, I wouldn't... Where'd you pull that one from? Because I wouldn't necessarily... I mean, it's a very unique face, Peter Beardsley.
Just thinking outside the box.
Okay. Fair enough. And who have you gone for Murdoch?
Alex Higgins.
Great shout. Great shout.
You can imagine them all going in and breaking him out of his own, can't
you? Yeah. But, like, as they get him out, one of them realises that they've forgot his cue in his little cue case and have to run back and grab that because, like, when things get tasty, he breaks out the fucking heavy end of the cue.
Definitely.
Like, good shout. Good shout.
There was also on TV debut of The Mad Death on BBC One, a three-part series examining the effects in the UK of an outbreak of rabies. And I was just wondering if you could remember a more horrible, disrespectful nickname than rabies.
It's really horrible.
Yeah, it's really horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. And people are waiting for us to say, tell us all about him. It was a woman. who walked really fast, didn't she? With purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got to be honest, like, we was responsible for some quite mean nicknames, generally for our friends. I wasn't responsible for calling that woman rabies. I don't even know her real name, but I did only knew her as rabies.
Yeah.
Quite horrible, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
rabies
really
was a bit like quicksand, though. It was a legit fucking thing to be scared of in the 80s, wasn't it?
God, yeah.
If you got bit by a dog, chances are you had rabies.
Yeah.
Do you still get rabies?
No one ever says about rabies anymore, do they? Because they're not on about dogs coming through the channel anymore, are they? Or about people coming over on the small boats.
It's a shame, isn't it? You know,
they should be worried about the real threats.
Yeah.
Rabies.
Yeah, quicksand. Fireworks. The real dangers. Jigsaw was on. And on it was... Inventor Wilf Young. Can you remember him?
What, from Pop Idol?
think I better leave right now by Wilf Young. Can you remember him?
Nah.
Young, spelled Y-U-N-N. I'm going to pull up a picture of him.
Oh.
You will remember him. He was on, like, what was it, the great...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership.
dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Getting caught in the wrong shoes can interrupt your plans for the day, like when that 10% chance of rain ends up looking more like 100%. When the transition to fall and winter feels more like experiencing every season on the same day, there's the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Cross off errands with the splash protection on the Wool Runner Mizzle. Dash through cold and wet weather with all-condition traction and reflective details on the Wool Dasher Mizzle. Or upgrade to next-level protection with the Mud Guard on the Wool Runner-Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Egg and spoon race, whatever that was called, where they used to do inventions and stuff.
Fuck knows.
Oh, it's fucking great. Let me pull up a picture of him, see if you remember him.
How many inventors can you know?
Wilf Lunn, not young.
Wilf Lunn.
Remember him?
Oh, that silly old cunt. Right. Yeah.
Like,
looks a bit of Viv Stanchel, doesn't he, from the Bonzos?
Yeah, definitely.
Is he dead now? I mean, obviously, thoughts to his family.
He might still be alive.
He's got to be.
No, he's still alive.
How old?
He's 81.
Doing really well, Wilf, if you're listening.
Oh, some of the shows he was on. Magpie.
Yep.
Jigsaw. Game for a Laugh. Jim Will Fix It.
I mean, when you look at him,
the word.
He's got a very unique look, like some of the other presenters had.
So he was on Jigsaw. Let's not get bogged down in creepy looking people.
No, I'm not saying creepy. I'm saying he had a unique.
You're
going to
start suggesting. I know where you're going with this.
No, I'll say he had an eccentric look about him.
Right. Let's just move on. Finger Bob was on. Has anyone ever had a look at him?
It was hard to tell, though, because he always had his fingers in them puppets, didn't he?
Yeah.
So they come round, didn't they? And they're like, Mr. Bobs, we need to swab your fingernails. He's like, hold on, I've just got to entertain the kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got all his fingers busy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Do you reckon he was busy with his fingers once the once he got out and was on the way home?
I think I looked into this a couple of weeks ago. Not his fingers.
Do you reckon he had an estate car? Mind you, we both did, didn't we? But we're all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing about estate cars. No. We had to fit the DJ stuff in. He just had a few finger puppets. Why has he got an estate car?
Puppets.
Puppets.
People don't do puppets anymore, do they? Is there a reason for that, do you think?
I don't need to do puppets anymore because they've got the dark web.
There was a program called Knock Knock. Do you think you ever run faster than when you knock on a door and leg it? Do you think, I always remember, like, whenever we do, like, knock up ginger or whatever, like, or bud up, like, you bomb it like you'd never bombed it before.
I would say that's probably the only time I would have been seen as a teenager sprinting.
Really?
Yeah, because I certainly didn't want to play football.
No. Do you think you could have done sub 1,000 metres following on from, like, bud up?
100%, yeah.
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 I think so. I remember just...
Yeah, like, if someone's door's opening and some fella's like, oi!
Yeah. Different. It's not when people say, like, oh, you know, if your car's crushing your kid, you just find this superhuman strength to lift the car off of it.
Like, it wouldn't count in the Olympics, though, because it's like being wind-assisted. If you've got a big bloke going, oi!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't oi a brilliant thing to shout?
It just means something's going on here. I haven't quite worked out what yet.
But I'm already angry.
How many times do you reckon someone gets lumped after someone said oi? Depends whether they catch them, doesn't it?
I think sometimes you can, like that, like you say, before you've understood the situation, you can quite easily misjudge it by going, if you get it wrong, and you go, oi!
Yeah.
And someone else is already at that level of anger.
Yeah.
And go, you fucking what?
Yeah.
And then before you know it, neither of you really know the situation, but you both wrote checks you don't really want to cash. Yeah. But before you know, you've got to just get on with it, haven't you?
Think before you oi.
That should have been on a poster at school. Think before you oi. Oh, dear. We spoke about Mike Rees' pop quiz on the TV last month, and I'm going to play a quick round of Mike Rees' knob quiz, where I give you four 80s pop stars, and I want you to rank them from smallest cock to biggest cock.
Right, okay, no.
The celebrities you've got today are Billy Ocean, the aforementioned Nick Haywood.
Have you just put him in, or did you have him
in? No, he was already in there, as was the aforementioned Nick Kershaw. And Colonel Abrams.
Oh.
So I want you to start with small.
So we got the two Nicks.
Yep. Colonel Abrams and Billy Ocean Colour Scene.
Who's got the smallest cock out of the Nicks? See, I think Kershaw's cock is smallest in length.
Yeah.
But Hayward's is thinner in girth.
Yeah.
But we've got to go with length.
Yeah.
I would say Kershaw's cock looks like just like a little dark pink snood. With one of Wright's head Fred sticking out of it.
Yeah.
And very, very sceptical about COVID, his cock.
Yeah.
I would say Kershaw has the smallest cock.
Sure.
Not of the whole 80s. Phil Collins's was smaller. But Kershaw, yeah, very, very small cock.
Mm.
But, you know, he wrote a lot of great songs.
Didn't he?
Nick Haywood wrote less good songs. Mm. But his cock was slightly longer, but thinner.
Right.
Bit like, I would say like a conker on a string. His shaft was quite thin and his helmet was like a chupa-chup lolly.
Gotcha.
Just like his helmet's a little bit bigger.
Not really got a lot about it.
No, he has trouble getting it past half mast because of the weight of his bell end in comparison. It looks like, you know, that big onion thing over by Folds in Basildon.
Yeah.
A bit like that, but tiny. If you see it in the distance.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to manoeuvre that.
Yeah, I often drive past that and go, Hayward's cock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's weird is you are now. So we're left with Billy Ocean and Colonel Abrams. Colonel Abrams of seminal hit Trapped.
Yeah.
I love Trapped.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? Because he's got that fucking great sort of soul voice, and it's like that 80s electro sound as well. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think it's as good, though, as Love Really Hurts Without You or Red Light Spells Danger. But it's better than When the Going Gets Tough.
We're not talking pop hits, we're talking Corey's.
I would say Ocean's Cock.
Billy's Willy.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Quite veiny.
Dreaded pubes?
Huh?
Is he pubes dreaded?
No. Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah.
God, yeah. But no, not in the 80s. No. He was one of the first people to neaten his pubes. He didn't shave them off.
Right.
He just neatened what he had there. When he had that tidy beard around the time of Caribbean Queen, he neatened his pubes to match it.
Fantastic.
And he also took a little bit off of his bush, thus giving him an extra bit of length.
Why not?
It's an optical illusion. Not that he needed it. No. He had probably 8 to 9 inches, I would say.
Yeah.
Quite a dark shaft and quite a bright pink helmet. It was quite the sight when he revealed that. Biggest of the four.
Sure.
Colonel Abrams.
Was he in the military?
I don't know, but I would imagine his cock was so big that a couple of times he did get it trapped in the lady's fanny.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they had to call the emergency services who would come along with a load of lube and help him free it. Like a horse.
That's right. Mike Reed's knob quiz. Right. News. Mario Brothers, the game, was released in the arcades.
Yeah, I saw that. It was released in Japan as an arcade game about an Italian-American plumber.
I don't think I've ever played Mario Brothers.
You've never played Mario Brothers? Have you played any of the Mario franchise?
I think I played Mario Cars or something.
Mario Kart.
Well, the kids had something once and I played it. I'm not interested in arcade games and computer games.
Any of them?
I like that House of the Dead Zombie one.
Yeah.
Where you shoot them. And I like any Star Wars one.
Is that 'cause it makes you feel a bit survivally?
I think so.
Although you've always, whenever I've tried to talk to you about what you'd do in a zombie apocalypse, you've refused to entertain the idea that a zombie apocalypse would be possible.
I think the last time we spoke about it, I think I threw you into them.
Yeah, oh, that's right, yeah.
And made my escape like that.
Has anyone ever tried just wanking off a zombie instead of shooting it?
Wouldn't it just come off in your hand?
I don't know. I just think it'd look really confused and that'd give you a moment to escape.
Yeah, but you've got to let go of his cock, unless you take it with you.
Do you think it would quicken up if you ran off with his cock? Like some bloke shouting, "Oi!" at it.
I don't know. Like you quite like arcade games and that, didn't you? If you had the time, like, would you play more computer games if you could?
If it didn't just, like, suck all the fucking time and creativity out, yeah, I would play it all the time, I think.
Yeah.
But it just fucking, yeah, it just like, it just ain't good for getting anything done.
Yeah.
I like all Mario and that. Like, I suppose it was like, what would it sort of been like, late 90s? Courtney used to bring his N64 around and we'd all sit and play like Mario Kart.
Yeah.
And, what's the other one? Like the one where Mario walks around the world, like the N64. Oh, I can't fucking. Super Mario Galaxy or one of them ones.
Yeah.
But like, they're really good. But ain't good if you want to get anything done, because like you can just fucking, you can literally spend hours on it.
My attention span has never lent itself to that.
But it really ain't any different to just fucking like watching a box set, do you know what I mean? Because you do something and something opens up from doing that and something opens up from doing that.
It just can't help my, like, I've bought the kids over the years all different consoles and like, and I've cut the time going, do you know what, let's get a family console and like, we'll get into it for about an hour and I'm like, this is fucking boring. I just can't get into it. I bought all the UFC games, boxing games, all the things I think I really enjoy.
Perhaps you're just not a gamer.
I'm not a gamer.
I remember on Christmas Day when my old man got us the Acorn Electron.
Yeah.
And you know, like, you'd put the fucking tape in and it'd make that that sound for about 15 minutes while you waited for your game to load.
Yeah.
And then we got Mr. Do up on the Acorn Electron and I didn't get a go of it for like the whole of Christmas morning. He's like, I'm just checking it's working.
I can remember like getting me Commodore 64 and thinking this was the best fucking day ever. And then like,
you like the Aztec Tomb Adventure.
Yeah, but like, I play that once a month. And like, but I never really had like, I'd have like mates that would rather stay in and play computer than come out. And I was like, I want that. I wanted to go out. I couldn't be sitting indoors playing computer. It was also a heat wave this month.
What, in 1983?
Yeah.
How was it?
Yeah. Can you, like, I don't remember, like, it is weird how our time changes your perception, because I think of summers, when I look back, I never remember being out with you in the rain. Like, I just picture either being...
I wouldn't have come out in the rain.
Right.
Or I'd have gone home if it was raining. But no, I know what you mean, yeah. The summers were hot all summer long.
Yeah.
And you was out until that last bit of fucking light.
Yeah. And it felt like that, and I know that that's such a fucking granddad thing to say, but it did feel like that. And, like, you know, I don't remember thinking, oh, I'd better go and get a jacket, it's cold. It just felt like you're just sitting over the field all day.
Yeah.
Like, just playing football and just talking bollocks.
Yeah. Because this would have been summer holidays between leaving. I would have been leaving junior school and going to senior school, I think.
Yeah. Would we have been leaving Cubs now? You wouldn't have.
I think everyone else had left about 3 years ago, and I was like sort of the seven foot kid playing in central defence.
Is that kid over here on YTS? No, he's still just still one of the Cubs.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I don't know how much longer, because we all left Cubs, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I think you left Cubs like at a certain after your birthday. At the start or the end of a certain term. I think that was how Cubs worked.
Yeah.
But I must have just stayed on for another term or two terms, like just at the. Because I wasn't still going to Cubs, but I was still playing for the football team.
Yeah.
But I must have been the tallest person in the whole of Cub football. I was like the equivalent of like Peter Crouch.
You look like it. Oh, fucking hell. It was the launch of the Ford Orion. Which signalled the end, rest in peace, of the Ford Cortina.
I thought the Sierra took over.
It did. The Sierra had come out, I think, maybe the month before. I don't know if we mentioned it, but I think that I had a note then about that. And I'm just looking at these motors and seeing, you know, as we've spoken about so many times, the sort of as we see pubes start to sort of fade away. Mm. And this modern man, you know, come through an Orion.
Like, the Cortinas were all really square, weren't they? They were like they were made from cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
But the Orions and Sierras were all like, you know, the bonnet sloped down, didn't they?
A bit poncy, weren't they? A bit more Essex boy-y, weren't they? Like, all right, what kind of motor... Like, if you turned up at Roach's Yard, right, with an Orion...
Yeah.
He ain't taking that for a spin, is he?
No.
Right. So, with that in mind, right, I'm a little... The jury's out on a Sierra. I think, like, basically, people are just, like, scrapping motors at Pat's Yard. And I think, like, he's got his choice. Whatever he wants, you know, he'll just fucking do a bit of work on it, bit of panel beating... And then he'll take that motor out for a couple of weeks and he'll just use it as his run around.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a Sierra, maybe if he's taking Mrs. Roach out for a meal, maybe he takes her out in a Sierra. But day to day, what's he driving?
I can't imagine Pat Roach in a Ford Sierra. I just can't. He's a Cortina.
Yeah.
He's Granada. Just a Cortina all day. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he was shy of an estate either.
Yeah, but I would say if Roach had an estate, he's got the seats down.
Yeah.
And it's just full of scrap. Like old bits of car, like carburetors and car parts.
Smashed up old punch bag and a couple of pairs of gloves.
I thought you were going to describe his wife's fanny then. But he was a very gentle lover.
Do you reckon, like, if someone, like, he's bombing around, right, and he's driving carefully because he's got all that scrap in the back, right?
Yeah.
Goes over a speed bump, everything starts rattling around, and he fucking puts on the anchors. He's not in panic. Pat, don't panic, right? But then basically a geezer on a motorbike just fucking bibs him, pulls up beside him, and just fucking bangs on him and gives him a mouthful, then sees his Pat, right? Do you think, like, what's Pat's kind of... course of action from there? Do you think, like, he gets out, asks no questions? Will he get the geezer to take his helmet off? Will he just smash him with the helmet on?
I reckon he's got his window down and he's gone, oi! And if by the time he's out the car he ain't had a sorry sir,
right,
it's fucking game over, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, Pat's going to work.
I don't reckon it would be unlike Pat to take the bloke's helmet off and batter him with it. You know, use it like a bowling ball. Yeah. Just fucking, yeah.
Yeah. He had it coming. Yeah. He had it coming. Okay. Right. Have you got any news?
Nothing nice. France invades Algeria.
Why do you always do this at this point as we're starting to wrap things up? You always bring it down.
I think that is news generally, isn't it? There's never nice, you know. I did that bit one time about the bloke on the fucking the white plastic garden chair who went up with the balloons. That was a nice bit of news.
That was a good one, yeah. Why don't you try and search a bit more and find some more stuff like that? It was really good there. Everyone loved that.
It's just like, I don't know, world events are generally someone invades someone else, an helicopter crashes and fucking Russia perform nuclear tests.
Jesus Christ.
That is basically it, yeah. France invaded Algeria. There was an helicopter crash off the Isles of Scilly, killing 20 people. Britain's worst helicopter accident.
Mike Smith?
No, it's the best one. could have been.
Oh, yeah.
And Russia performed nuclear tests at Eastern Kazakh.
Right. Well, I've hardly got anything left for sport, but I've got two games, right?
Did you have any good news?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, I just wanted to talk about Pat Roach's yard.
Oh.
But, no one gives a shit about the Orion, do they?
Metallica released their debut album, Kill 'Em All, on Megaforce Records.
Megaforce.
That's a good metal fucking record label, wasn't it?
They're rubbish, Metallica.
You just don't get metal, do you? I would never say Metallica are rubbish. I just don't fucking get it. Do you like Exit Light, Enter Night?
No, I hate that.
Take My Hand. We're off to Never Neverland.
I hate all of that. Oh.
Why do you hate metal so much?
I don't know.
Because you don't get it. You ain't part of the party, are you?
No, but it's just reminded me. I had a really good fucking segue from wherever I lay my hat about you going travelling with your Judas Priest cap.
I did have that when I was travelling as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Did I have my metal jacket?
What must you have looked like?
Just me in the 80s. Just be self.
Is he French? Them Pierre Cardin shoes. Okay, well, look, we'll do a bit of sport, and then I don't want to do two games. I'll give you, and you can pick what game you want to do, and we'll finish on that.
Right.
I've had a look at sport. There weren't a lot. Rowing, and I know people used to pretend they liked rowing in the 80s, you know, a bit of boat racing that, wouldn't it? You know, but you ever rowed a boat?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but not like, not in a race or anything.
Yeah.
I did win the, I won the Lilo race, the kids' Lilo race on holiday in Benidorm. Probably, it might have actually been in this summer holidays we're in now. It's about 11. So what would that been, 11, 12?
Right.
Yeah, it might have actually been this summer holidays. 40 years ago, I won the Lilo race at the Hotel Rio Park in Benidorm against some other teenage kids and a couple of little kids. And at the end of it, you got to choose.
Daddy, he's taller than you.
He's got hands like shovels. Daddy's like he's using oars. And then, because I won it, I got to choose something from the gift shop.
What did you choose?
I chose a light blue pastel vest with the slogan, sex appeal. Please give generously under it.
Oh, fantastic. I bet your dad had never been prouder.
No.
What a fucking moment. I never saw that.
Oh, you would have seen it, I'm sure.
Still got it?
Yeah, probably have, actually, at Mum's Loft.
I never wear that.
Still well, you'd like that.
No, I
that'd
wouldn't.
That'd be tight now.
No, you had your shirt off last time. That was fucking weird.
You would like that. That'd be like that gay chatline advert from the 80s.
Don't do that dance.
Don't do that dance.
It was the Talbot Games.
What's the Talbot Games then?
I think there was swimming. I don't know, I wanted to talk about this as well, because we mentioned swimming the other day on one of the old episodes where Den stood there and pissed himself.
Yeah.
And have I ever spoke about the two injuries that I sustained in the pool? One was
while
mine,
swimming.
And one was Keller's.
I remember Keller's knocking his front teeth out, diving into Blackshot's pole.
Well, that's how I've done that one that's been capped now.
What, Blackshot's pole?
Yeah, I dived in on a Wednesday night. We used to do we'd all go up there, and there was a girl called Claire. And I remember just trying to impress her. And I'd done a little dive and then just come up going,
did that impress her?
Like, crack me tooth. But Keller's, me and him went on a Saturday once. And And he was climbing up the ladder to go up to like one of the boards.
Yeah.
And he slipped. And he kind of held onto the railings. But as he went down, he sort of smashed his mouth on the steps of the ladder.
Yeah.
And I remember, I can't remember the woman's name, but she felt like she worked there forever. And I went and got her. I was like, my mate's like, oh, his mouth is bleeding. He was like, my mate's bleeding. And like, and she's sort of just like, oh, God. And just like walked over there. I was having a proper fucking panic attack. And then it, and like Scott was crying. And then I just remember just going, what you done, you idiot? And like, it was just proper horrible to him. And he was like, woo.
It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Scott took in that little room underneath the seats that he was never allowed in.
Oh.
And yeah, she just sort of cleaned him up a little bit. I seen an old picture the other day at a swimming pool, and it showed the boards, because you had like, you had the spring board, didn't you?
Yeah,
then you had
second
flat.
Yeah, and then the top board.
Top board. I always remember there was this geezer that was like literally part fucking bear. He was just this hairy man in these little 80s speedos, and he'd just stand at the top, and he was like fucking looking at Tarzan. And he, because the top board was proper high, wasn't it? It was like Olympic, like high board.
Yeah, it was
high,
wasn't it? Really fucking high.
Did you ever go off of there?
Yeah, all the time. I went swimming club, didn't I?
So did I.
And then I went diving club.
You went diving club?
Yeah, that's why I'm so good at diving.
I've never seen you dive.
Yeah, I don't like to make a big thing about it.
Well, you've just fucking made a big thing about the fact that you're fucking a little bit fucking nifty on a lilo.
No, I think I dived off the top ball once.
Yeah.
And just never went back to diving club. Yeah. It was just too high. I shit myself.
Yeah.
It was so fucking high up there.
Yeah. Like, I dived off of there once, and I dived. I never really worked out how to do the springboard, like, yeah, to run and then just bounce and then do the dive. I just weren't confident enough. I used to just like doing like jumps and bombs off a second flat. That was fucking good fun, wasn't it?
That springboard was fun. Andy and Big Bum Dave, when they was kids.
That's a great nickname, that, isn't it?
They used to, they would go and lay flat on the top board at the end of the swimming session until the whole pool was clear. And then they'd stand up, take their trunks off, and go, like, to the lifeguards, like, waving their trunks around like that. And then when the lifeguard come up the ladder to get them, they'd jump off in the nude into the pool.
Run away, turn away. Right, okay, well, let's finish on a game. Do you want a game of Hard Man or Hard Drive or Porn Hub or Porn Snub?
Basically the same.
Yeah, they are.
Do whatever one you like.
All right, we'll go.
Save the other one for next month.
All right, we'll go with Porn Hub or Porn Snub. So the thoughts behind this game are, so basically, they go back to their hotel room, and do they indulge in Porn Hub or do they just Porn Snub? So I'm going to go, going to keep it sport. Sebastian Coe.
Oh, Sebastian Coe. He's conservative, isn't he, Sebastian Coe? So therefore he's heartless.
Yeah, he's a posh cunt.
So I would imagine he would go back. He'd go back to his hotel room. He's been like part of some Olympic committee or something. And he goes back to his hotel room. He tethers his laptop to his phone because he don't want to go on the standard internet because he's going dark.
Okay.
Yeah, he goes on the dark web. I'm not saying...
Steve Ovett.
I said I wasn't saying. Ovett. He likes a wank. But he's an endurance runner, isn't he, Steve Ovett?
Yeah, but he's used to come in second.
Yeah. I reckon he likes to set an evening aside for a wank.
Fair play.
He used to look at porn, but he never really liked himself when he looked at it. So now he's gone back old school, so he just looks at catalogues. You know, like there'd be some attractive ladies in some lacy bras.
Yeah.
And the occasional pair of like slightly see-through pants where you get just a little bit of bush. And that's enough for him, and that can bring him to the ball. But he'll make a wank last an evening.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Porn snub then. Okay. Steve Cram.
I think we've done Steve Cram because we use the Steve likes to cram it in.
Oh, okay. In which case then, Oh, God, have we done Link for Christie before?
Probably, but, you know.
okay, right, in which case then... Oh, who can I go for the...
I don't remember talking about Link for Christie for about 2 years.
Oh, okay. In which case, then, the lunchbox. What is he getting the lunchbox off with? Is he indulging in Pornhub, or is he snubbing it?
I reckon he must have the most famous outline of genitals in sport. I can't think of anyone else whose genitals I can picture the outline of and could probably draw a rough version from memory.
Yeah.
So... I would imagine when you've got a cock that's as famous as Linford Christie's...
Do you reckon his bollocks weigh the same as his cock?
What, together?
No.
Or each one?
Hmm. No, as a collective of bollocks. Like, do you think his two bollocks, like, weigh the same as his stem?
No, I reckon his bollocks... He's got a decent-sized pair of bollocks. You know, as we all know, because we've all seen them. But
yeah.
His cock would outweigh them, yeah.
Right.
Very, it's very, very dense.
Yeah. It wouldn't float in the bath.
No. God, no.
Is he watching porn or is he not?
I would say that Linford probably has enough female attention. After he's come off the track, he'll go back, he'll have a quick shower, clean it up, pull it back, you run a wet wipe around his helmet, get rid of any remaining feta, and... there'd be a queue of ladies all waiting to sort his lunchbox out.
Really?
Yeah. And so he'd probably just have straight sex with a couple of those ladies. He'd pick a couple out.
Back to a hotel?
Or he's probably got a fella who sort of picks out a couple of the best ones, tells the rest of all, like, jog on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what they'd do is they'd get them all ready to the hotel.
Right.
So Linford's there. He just walks in.
He's in the blocks.
He's straight out the blocks because he hasn't even got dressed after his race. He just puts on a dressing gown.
Right.
He just walks in the room, drops a dressing gown, says, "How's about that then?" And then just sorts them out.
Wow.
And they're up for it. They've all signed consent forms and stuff. There's nothing
dodgy
or Harvey Weinstein-y going on. It's like, it's just, you know.
When you say "How's about that then," he set all sorts of different warnings.
No, but it's just a phrase you use when you do, you know, that... When you're trying to draw people's attention to something impressive, which is cocky.
Yeah. Big, big piece.
Not in a racist way.
No. It was there for us all to see.
Yep.
It should be applauded.
And then serviced. Do you reckon anyone's clap when they've seen his cock? I reckon ladies have gone, "Woo!"
Magnificent.
Yeah.
Magnificent. Like, I definitely think there was a lot of frustrated asswipes, like when they were doing the little camera move along the blocks before the 100 metres, and it would just get there, and I bet they'd just be like, "I'd like a little guy on the lunchbox."
Yeah. Like, do you reckon he would become faint like King Dong when he'd become aroused?
100%,
yeah. The amount of blood it would take to kind of get that.
He would do two women, both like sub-10,
yeah,
and then he'd literally just have to go and have a fucking pint of Lucozade. And just fucking relax, because he'd go faint.
Oh, he had a doctor who would just inject a pint of Lucozade into his bollocks halfway through.
If it's good enough for Thompson, it's good enough for Christie.
Spot on.
Absolutely. We'll see you in August.
Bye.
Remembering when we were young in the 80s.